This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
So we will bring in now Mark Schlabaugh of ESPN, who has his post-spring top 25 out. And I'm going to start with this question for you, Mark. We're playing if, ands, and buts. Mike Renner of PFF has at number 6 in his 2022 NFL mock draft. Way too early. We all agree. We're having fun here. Florida quarterback Emory Jones at number 6 overall. I don't want your opinion on whether or not you think that can happen. I want to ask you, if that happens, how much would that change your current top 25 coming out of spring football?
If Emory Jones is the number 6 pick in the NFL draft, I'd still go with Georgia, I think. I just think Georgia's better defensively. I think Georgia's better at receiver after Florida lost so much with Grimes and Pitts. I know they got Caldwell coming back. I just have a hard time believing Emory Jones is going to be the number 6 pick in the NFL draft.
I mean, I'm kind of with you. I was surprised to see it. There's a Derek Stingley up there and Evan Neal there. I think we kind of can all get on board with that. We believe that that's feasible, that that's realistic. But that was a big surprise to me because I kind of, like you, look at, let's just start with the weapons on offense. They're going to be gone from Florida. But then that defense wasn't great towards the end of last year, and there hasn't been a ton of additions. And even though a Mohamed Diabate coming back, who – I thought was going to be better than he was last year. A couple other guys here and there. Clearly, Elam's going to be back, but I don't expect Florida's defense to take a massive step this year. Do you?
No, and there wasn't a one big subtraction that disappointed Florida fans, if you know what I mean. They stuck, you know, Mullen stuck with Todd Grantham. They were terrible at the end of the year. The pass defense was atrocious, but I don't know. That's a surprise. I mean, look, Georgia, JT Daniels, does Renner have Daniels in the first round?
He only releases top 10 for now, and he is not in the top 10. Quarterbacks are Spencer Rattler, Sam Howell at 1 and 2, and then you get Emory Jones at 6, and then he stops in at his top 10. So,
yeah, I mean, Daniels, I still think it's wait and see because he played well at the end of the year, went 4-0 as a starter, but, you know, didn't exactly play murderer's row. That Cincinnati defense was pretty good, but he struggled in the Peach Bowl. So I'm still sort of taking a wait and see approach. I think he'll benefit from a second year in Monken's offense. You know, he's another year away from knee surgery he had at USC. And they got weapons. I mean, even without George Pickens, I think with Burton and if they can get Blaylock back from the torn ACL and Rosemary St. John or whatever his name is healthy. And Darnell Washington, the tight end, I think is going to be it will have a Kyle Pitts-like effect. Maybe not as good. He's not as athletic, but he's just such a big body. But, you know, I would go with Georgia in the East.
I mean, listen, you're preaching to the choir here because I've made the case for Georgia to be the number one team in the nation heading into this season. But you go Oklahoma post-spring. Was Oklahoma your number one team heading into spring ball? What kind of movement are we seeing towards the top of your post-spring top 25?
I want to say Oklahoma was 3 in the way too early, which came out right after the national championship game. You know, Georgia and Oklahoma, obviously the two teams among the contenders that are bringing back quarterbacks. I think Lincoln does as good of a job as anybody coaching quarterbacks. You know, they went up and raided Knoxville, got Eric Gray and the big tackle, Wanya Morris and another kid in the secondary. You know, defensively, I really like what Grinch has done. I think 2 years ago they were like 126th in the FBS in total, or 100th in total defense, and this last year they were 26th, I think, even with Norwood leaving and the kid Trey Brown, the corner. I think that side of the ball they're going to be better. I think at one point Cole, within his first two and a half years, they'd had something like 28 kids on defense leave, which tells you how bad the talent level was when he got there. So I think he's upgraded talent there. But you know, they add Gray, they bring back the tailback who sat out last year. lost Stevenson, who was a good player for him, but I think Kennedy Brooks and Gray will be a nice 1-2 punch. You know, they've got the easiest path to the playoff. I think their non-conference is Western Carolina, Tulane, and Nebraska. But, you know, their problem hasn't been getting to the playoff. It's what happens when they get there. So I think he's got to get over the hump. But I think slowly but surely they're getting closer.
I think the Mark Slaybaugh of ESPN joining us on the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. The last time we had this conversation, I kind of surprised you with two things because I had sort of laid mine out. One, how far back I had Ohio State. Two, how far up I had Iowa State. We've sort of met in the middle. Ohio State down to 5 in your preseason poll. Iowa State up to 6. Is that Big 12 going to come down to, we could see it twice, obviously, Oklahoma, Iowa State? I mean, if they split, I don't really know where we go from there, but is that essentially going to be what decides which one or both or if one of those teams gets into the college football playoff?
Yeah, we saw it last year, right? Iowa State beat them in the regular season. Oklahoma came back and beat them in the Big 12 championship game. I mean, I love what Matt Campbell's done there. I think it's a miracle that they've kept him as long as they have, bringing back Purdy and Breece Hall and the big tight end Kolar. And I mean, they're really stacked. I mean, my issue with them has always been, do they have the depth? It's hard to beat a team twice in the same season, as you know. And I like what Campbell did in the spring. You know, during the pandemic last year, he said they didn't hit that much because he was afraid about contact tracing and everything else. And he felt like by the end of October, November, Iowa State was really hitting its stride physically. And so they had very little contact this spring, and he thinks it's going to pay off for them.
Visiting with Mark Slaybaugh of ESPN, his post-spring top 25 out now. Another place that I really like that you have gone that a lot of people have not gone is you've got A&M at 7. I think I might have A&M at 5, maybe 6 at the lowest going into this season. Why is the focus so much on what A&M lost as opposed to what they bring back?
That's a good question. I mean, Jimbo's obviously confident in his team, talking about beating Bama's rear already. But, you know, I mean, they're gonna miss Kellen Mond, no question about it. He wasn't the most beloved player in A&M history, but as a four-year starter, I think the kid was a hell of a player. You know, you're the O-line guy. What they lost up front is certainly not going to be easy to replace. They added another Tennessee transfer, Jameer Johnson, who's probably going to start at right tackle, so that'll help them. But, you know, defensively, they were so good under Elko last year. They bring back, 9 starters off their defense. So, you know, defensively, I think they're going to be able to stop people. And whether it's Haynes King, who I think is probably going to be, or Zach Calzada, kid out of Atlanta, you know, one of those two I think are going to be fine. And then they bring back two really good tailbacks. So if they can find some receivers, I think offensively they'll be able to score enough points because I think the defense is going to be really good.
All right, Mark. So before I let you run, I think I asked it last time. I'm going to ask it again. Yet I'm going to preface this with there's one unacceptable answer that I will not take from you, and that is, well, they're Ohio State. So other than that, sell me on Ohio State being a top, not even top five. I'm not going to have them in my top 10, I don't think. Why is Ohio State where they are right now heading into this season?
Ryan Day, and they play in the Big Ten.
I think most of my listeners like the second part of your answer better than the first, but it's fair. Are you ready to, and I'm honest, because I don't think I know the answer to this yet. Are you ready to have Ryan Day on, like we have the Heisman house, like if we had the head coach house, and Saban is in, we'll go ahead and put Orgeron in, he's got a national title, Dabo obviously is in. Where's Ryan Day? Is he like coming up the sidewalk? Is he on the doorstep, like getting ready to grab the handle? Is he in the house? Where's Ryan Day in the echelon of college football coaches for Mark Slaybaugh right now?
Sitting on the front porch with Kirby Smart, not yet inside the front door.
Oh, that's good. I like that. I like that a lot.
That's fair, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Because Kirby's a guy that I should have brought up at least in that conversation. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think you got to win one to get into the head coach house. But, I mean, look, I mean, I think, what, did I have Indiana? Is the second best team in the league, and I love Tom Allen. I mean, I think he's one of the most underrated coaches in the country. I grew up in Indiana. Yeah. You talk about no football players. There are no high school football players in Indiana. And he's done a good job getting down into Florida and Georgia and some other places to really build their talent level. But when Indiana's potentially the second best team, and I think it's probably Indiana, Wisconsin, or Iowa, I mean, none of those three get me excited. So, I mean, you know, Ohio State's got an easy as a path as Oklahoma or Clemson. And that's a problem. I mean, that's why sports is way too dang top heavy right now.
No, I agree. Do you think that maybe opens the door for a Louisiana, a Cincinnati, to realistically be in the conversation late in the season?
Yeah, Cincinnati lost a ton, including Marcus Freeman, their defensive coordinator, who left for Notre Dame. Louisiana, I think, has got 19 guys coming back, or maybe even 20.
They got everybody, yeah.
Billy Napier. They did a good job last year. I don't think Liberty's going to be as good. Or is as good, but it'd take a hell of a lot, Cole, for one of those teams to get in the playoff.
Absolutely.
And if they did, I think you would see an immediate expansion.
100%. Mark, great stuff as always. Appreciate the time. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, brother. Thanks, Cole. Have a good weekend.
You too. Mark Schlabaugh of ESPN. I could tell you it's @Mark_Schlabaugh, but he doesn't do Twitter anymore. So, he gave up on that thing, which I think a lot of us wish that we could.
A long time ago, yeah.
Yeah, good for him. But you can find his work at ESPN.com. And as always, he joins us on the Ultra Organic Seltzer Hotline. Zero sugar, zero carbs, 80 calories. Try cucumber, lime, peach, pear, spicy, pineapple today.
This is Three Man Front.